بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Respected brothers and elders, fellow mothers and sisters listening at home. Inshallah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will continue narrating the different hikayat, incidents, anecdotes, malfuzat, advices, nasihat, lessons from our pious predecessors. Some are short advices, but they are inspiring. They bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have been discussing for the past few weeks now different anecdotes of different Salafi Saliheen. And the object is for our own reformation. It's not fixed to one topic. Various topics are mentioned. So from there, we know our weaknesses and it helps inshallah to remedy our weaknesses and to become, to have a more polished character and more stronger in our iman and in our amal. May Allah Ta'ala accept our sitting here. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us and make the sitting a zariah of us coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that there is no drink that is more beloved to Allah ta'ala to be swallowed than that of anger. And we know in the Quran and in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has been emphasized that we should drink our anger, swallow our anger. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that there is nothing like anger a person can drink that is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are various benefits in the hadith for a person who drinks his anger, who swallows his anger. And amongst them, it is mentioned in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala will fill the person's heart with safety and iman. Allah will fill his heart with iman. Allah Ta'ala will give him aman, safety, security, peace when he swallows his anger. So he has the opportunity of giving vent to his anger and he can take revenge, he can use force, he can use abusive words, he can speak harshly, he can show his might, his strength, but he refrains from doing so. And he restrains his anger. On that Allah Ta'ala rewards him tremendously. Like the Sahabi who came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He asked him, give me some advice. Awsini, give me some advice. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, La taghdab, don't become angry. So he accepted that advice. And he said, Zidni, give me some more advice. Rasulullah said, La taghdab, don't become angry. Fakarra miraran. Several times he asked Rasulullah the same question. And each time Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated, don't become angry, don't become angry. So Rasulullah understood that this was this person's weakness and he needed to remedy this. And most of us have the same problem of anger. Whether we are teaching or whether in the business or whether at home, we tend to become angry, especially with those people who we are very betakalluf with the wife, the children. And it's very important because Rasulullah has mentioned, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِسُرْعَةِ A wrestler, a strong person is not one who can pin his opponent to the ground in a wrestling match. He shows his strength and is able to topple his opponent and pin him onto the ground. He is not regarded as a strong person in Shariat. Strong person is that person who drinks his anger, suppresses his anger at the time of anger. So in this hadith, Rasulullah says that the person will be blessed with iman. He has iman, his iman will become strengthened. He'll enjoy the benefits of iman. And he'll gain peace and serenity in his heart. And the famous story of Hazrat Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh, when he was making wudu and his slave girl was pouring water for him, and as she was pouring the water, the jug slipped off from her fingers. It was a heavy earthen jar, so it hit his head. Obviously, he experienced some pain at that moment. So he became angry, he frowned, he became angry. So she very spontaneously recited the verse, of the Quran, والكاظمين الغيظ, and those who suppress the anger. She reminded him that Allah Ta'ala wants the muttaqeen, the pious people, to suppress their anger. Anger is not something that Allah Ta'ala likes. Allah dislikes anger. Anger leads to so many harms, so many evils. So immediately he suppresses his anger. But she was very intelligent. The slaves of that time, many of them were scholars of deen. Many of them were muhaddithin. They knew several ahadith of Rasulullah. They were very pious people. So she knew the Quran. And she says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. She continued reciting the verse. That those pious ones, the righteous ones, are not only those who suppress the anger, but they forgive the people. So he said, I have forgiven you. He didn't stop there. She says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do good, those who are kind. He says, I have given you your freedom. You can go. She makes a slip, the mistake, but that led to her freedom. Why? Because Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh, he suppressed his anger. He acted according to the commands of the Shariat. The famous story of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, we discussed many times before, when one Sahabi, by the name of Hur bin Qais, radiallahu anhu, who used to be in Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, very special majlises. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, would call certain Sahaba, with whom he would make mashura with, and many of them were qurra ulama, whether they were young or old, shubbanan kanu or kahulan. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would select them and he would make mashura with them regarding certain matters. So amongst them was Hur bin Qais radiallahu anhu. So once his uncle comes there, Uyayna bin Hisan radiallahu anhu, he says, I see you've got a very close contact with Amir al-Mu'mineen. I need to speak to him. So organize me an appointment with him. I need to speak to him. He says, no problem. So he seeks permission. Says Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, no problem. Let him come. So as the uncle enters, his nephew joins him. He says, he, Ibn al-Khattab. In a very rude manner. He doesn't even say Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, hey, son of Khattab. You don't deal with justice. And you don't distribute monies fairly and equally. Now these are two allegations. You are unjust. And the monies that you got for Baytul Mal, you don't distribute this fairly. You are unfair. And Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was well known for his justice, for his fairness. Immediately he became angry. And he's about to lash out at that person. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was courageous, he was strong. The moment the nephew saw that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu is now about to attack my uncle, he intervened. And very cleverly he says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, forgive, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, command good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from ignorant people. فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, this uncle of mine is amongst the ignorant ones. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu did not move one step further. وَكَانَ وَقَافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, he used to uphold the Quran, the Shariat, whatever the injunctions of Allah Ta'ala was. He reflected immediately. He looked into his nafs and he refrained from taking vent or showing his anger, and he suppressed his anger. So this is what we need to do. We need to suppress our anger. We will be tested all the time, every single day. Somebody will irritate us. Somebody will annoy us. So we'll become angry, we'll become irritated. And that is the time to swallow anger. How often? In most cases, the person gives his wife talaq because of anger. And in that state of anger, he does not realize what he is doing. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a person becomes angry, he must drink water. He must make wudu. If he is standing, he must sit down. If he is sitting down, he must lie down. In other words, the posture of the person must change. He must move away. If he is unable to contain himself, rather go for a drive, go into the masjid, go far away. As long as you are there, shaitan will prompt you, he'll provoke you. So anger is from shaitan. Shaitan is made of fire. And a person cools and extinguishes fire through water. Therefore, Rasulullah says, make wudu. Read a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim and move away from there. Because once a person blurts out talaq, 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 it's all over, finish. Then the person will go from one mufti to the other mufti to try and get some type of fatwa to say, no, 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 the nikah is still on. The nikah is completely broken, finish. So why regret? Allah Ta'ala has shown us, Rasulullah has shown us, yes, there are times when Rasulullah became angry, and that is for the sake of deen. There are times when a person will become angry. In the battlefield, you can't be a softy, you can't show so much compassion there. You are fighting the enemy, you got to show your anger there. There are times when a person will reprimand somebody else and show his displeasure and his anger because the other person is contravening the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's violating some command. So for the sake of tarbiyat islah, sometimes the parent will show some anger to the child. The sheikh might so show some anger to his murid. The ustad will be angry with his student. But it's a short period of time. So that the person realizes his mistake and he refrains from that particular sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal on these things inshallah. We hear the word ghairat. Ghairat means shame, honor, modesty. In fact, ghairat actually means when a person has this sense of dignity, honor, respect. It is an attribute which Islam stresses much. Once in the court of Qazi Musa bin Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, a lady covered with her burqa claimed that the husband was indebted to her for 500 gold coins, which were for her mahar. So he had not paid the mahar as yet. He ordered this 500 gold coins. There was a dispute. He was denying it. He was saying he gave it to her. She said she did not get it. So they go to the Qazi. The husband contested her claim. The wakil, the lawyer of the lady, produced two witnesses to testify, as is required by Sharia, to prove a claim which is denied. So Sharia person goes, he claims something. So he has to have some proof. So he brings the two witnesses on behalf of the lady. Before testifying, the witness requested the lady removes her niqab because he could not testify without recognizing her. It is permissible according to Sharia for women to reveal their faces in the presence of the Qazi, the Muslim judge in an Islamic court who hears the cases. And when the lady stood up and was about to open her niqab, the ghairat, the sense of pride, honor, dignity, self-respect, the ghairat of her husband could not tolerate another man looking at his wife. He therefore said, I testify that I do owe my wife 500 gold coins that she is claiming. My wife should never expose her face to a stranger. The impact of the husband's honor constrained the wife to say, I have waived the entire debt from my husband. The Qazi ordered that this episode be recorded as a lesson for humanity. So this is such an important thing. Ghairat. A person who allows his wife to flirt with other men, to talk very freely, wherever they may meet, then he's regarded as a cuckold. He's got no sense of honor, dignity, pride over his wife. Our wives should be treasured. If a person has that type of ghairat, then he will make sure that she doesn't just talk freely to any ghair mahram. Or if there's no real need, she won't just go start talking to any person. Now how often we see in wedding functions, where there's mixed gatherings, Mr. A's wife is talking to Mr. B, and his wife talking to some other person, and they're all laughing, giggling, joking. And how often after that there's the exchange of SMSs, and we see social media, and we know what the consequences are. Islam teaches ghairat. Now what a beautiful example. The wife came to claim her money, and the husband could not tolerate somebody, a ghair mahram, looking at the face of his wife. So immediately he accepted, he confessed, and he said, no, I do owe her. And this caused the wife to realize the akhlaq of her husband, and the ghairat of her husband, and she immediately waves off that 500 gold coins. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayah. These are things that we sometimes don't like to hear because of the type of environment society we live in. Allah ta'ala protect us. They are great challenges. It is not impossible to live in these times and to uphold the Sharia. If a person is serious and he's sincere, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala makes it possible. But when we want to live like the other people in this world, those who have got no deen, and we want to imitate their way of life and their customs and their fashion, and we feel it below our dignity, ma'adallah, to practice on deen and shariat, we feel ashamed and embarrassed of ourselves, then we have problems. We should be proud of our deen. I mentioned previously that our Islam, our Sunnah, our Quran has a kashish in it, has a magnetic attraction, a force that opens the eyes of so many people who are deprived of deen, of no deen. When they see true Islam, they become attracted to it. So why should we feel embarrassed over our deen? And this is the weakness in the ummah today. This is the weakness in the ummah. May Allah Ta'ala help us to protect and preserve our deen. And we should be proud of our deen. He's shouting some slogans about Islam here and there, or writing some articles in some magazines about Islam. That's not. More important than that is we should display our akhlaq and display iman and deen ourselves. People read those books and literature the non-Muslim will read. They'll get a very beautiful picture of Islam. But they search for Islam in the lives of the Muslims and they cannot find it. But when we look at practical examples, like those Sahaba who went to China, they dealt and the dealings they did were according to Sunnah. According to the teachings of Islam, they did not deceive the customers. They did not cheat on them. They were honest traders. On that, so many people accepted Islam. So this is what we require. We have to be happy and proud of our deen. We should not feel embarrassed. Our women folk, if they are in hijab, mashallah. But it doesn't mean when you go for a holiday, then suddenly the hijab comes out. And now we feel hard, it's difficult, because everybody else is watching us. At home it's easy. No, wherever we go. In fact, Allah Ta'ala will give you more respect. You'll get more honor by keeping your hijab on. Person is wearing kurta all the time. If he goes on a holiday, suddenly he feels, no, I'm sitting in the aeroplane, and it's going to be very difficult for me. So now I'm going to take off this kurta. That's not correct. We should still be happy and proud of our deen wherever we are. We must not change because of the environment. We must change the environment. We mustn't become affected by people around us. We must affect the hearts of people. And nothing is impossible if a person is sincere. If he is sincere, he is dedicated. Sadaqah, charity. Sadaqah, there are many virtues of sadaqah. In the hadith, there are so many virtues of sadaqah. Just to mention one or two, sadaqah blocks 70 avenues of evil. 70 avenues of evil. It is mentioned in the hadith that sadaqah wards off evil. If some calamity was going to afflict us, so before it comes down, when a person gives sadaqah, the sadaqah goes up, and it pushes off this evil. It is not possible for this evil, for this calamity, to go past the sadaqah. So therefore we should be giving sadaqah. by giving sadaqah, any evil, whatever calamity was going to befall us, through the barakat of the sadaqah, Allah Ta'ala wards off that evil. It prevents an evil death. A bad mort, it prevents an evil death. Sadaqah given to the miskeen has one reward. Sadaqah given to close relatives has two rewards. They may be a deserving relative, deserving family member. And this charity begins at home. So first, we should be seen to the needs of our family members. And perhaps it's a poor person in the family. So we should be seeing to that person. There's more reward for that. One reward for sadaqah and the other reward for keeping and maintaining the family ties. So he gets two rewards. But of course, if there's no poor person in the family and you give some other poor person, then too you're still rewarded. Sadaqah extinguishes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's ghadab is coming down. Person gives sadaqah, it extinguishes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah has said, protect your wealth by paying zakat. So if you want our wealth to be protected, no robbery, no theft, one of the ways is that we should be paying zakat. Remedy of sick ones by giving sadaqah. Person is sick, then by giving sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures the person. And fortify yourselves against calamities by means of dua. Dua is also very effective in removing calamities. Sadaqah is a very effective method of treating sickness. A man came to Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi and complained, I'm suffering for 7 years from this wound on my knee. I have resorted to every kind of remedy. I've consulted many physicians, but to no avail. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah said, go and search for a place where people are experiencing hardship because of lack of water. There's drought, there's no water, people are in taklif, musibat, they require water. Go look, search for such a place. Have a well dug up for them. I have hopes that with the gushing of water, your wound will be healed. In other words, you do this act of charity, you get a well dug for those people, and people will benefit from that water. So the barakat of that, as the water flows, Allah Ta'ala will heal your wound. The man obeyed. He arranged for the construction of a well. After a short while, he was completely healed. Many people in our society or community have seen the effect of sadaqah. Person had big, big problems. At the moment he gave sadaqah, all those court cases, problems, everything was finished. Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi narrates a very wonderful episode. He says, my ustad Imam Abu Abdullah Hakim rahmatullahi's face became covered with sores and pimples. Every remedy failed to cure him. After a whole year passed in this condition, he went to Hazrat Imam Abu Uthman As-Sabuni rahmatullahi alayhi and requested, during a Jummah gathering, do supplicate for my cure. Imam Sabuni rahmatullahi alayhi that Friday made fervent dua, and those present recited Ameen. So they made special dua for him. People said Ameen. The next Jummah, a lady sent a letter to the Imam Sabuni rahmatullahi alayhi, in which she had written, I too had made fervent dua at home that night for Imam Abdullah Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi. That very night Rasulullah SAW appeared in my dream and said, tell Abu Abdullah Hakim to make water available in abundance to the people. Make water available in abundance to the people. Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah said, he delivered the letter to Imam Abdullah Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi. After reading the letter, he immediately arranged for the construction of a well to supply the people with water. Even before a week had passed, his face began to heal. Very soon, there remained not a single pimple, nor any blemish or scar on his face. He was completely cured. But the important thing is to do this thing with yaqeen. When we give sadaqah, we must have yaqeen. In any action that we do, we must have firm conviction that Allah Ta'ala will solve the problem. Now when we just give the sadaqah without this yaqeen, then we won't see this type of effect. We must have full yaqeen that now we're giving the sadaqah and Allah Ta'ala will remove this problem. There's another very interesting incident which has been mentioned regarding the barakah of sadaqah. There was a very wealthy qazi, judge in the land of Ray, once on the day of Ashura, these are the days of Muharram, and on the Thursday will be the 10th of Muharram, day of Ashura. So, once on the day of Ashura, a faqir, a poor man, approached the Qazi and explained that he had a family and required assistance. He said to the Qazi, may Allah increase your honor and respect. I'm a poor man with a family. On this blessed day of Ashura, I appeal to you for some charity. The faqir gave the Qazi a list of his requirements. The Qazi told the faqir to come back after Zuhr. So when the faqir came at Zuhr, the Qazi told him to come at Asr time. He came at Asr time, Qazi did not have anything to give. So very sad and dejected, the faqir left. Along the way, the faqir saw a Christian sitting in the doorway of his home. Approaching the Christian, the faqir asked for charity in the name of the blessed day of Ashura. The Christian asked him, what is Ashura? After the faqir explained what Ashura was, this Christian presented the faqir with more than what he had requested. He further told the faqir to come every month to collect all his food requirements. He was doing so because of the blessings of the day of Ashura. Christian person. That night the Qazi saw in a dream a wonderful palace of unsurpassed beauty. He said, oh Allah, whose palace is this? The divine response came, if you had given the faqir what he had asked, it would have been your palace. However, you had refused. Now it belongs to the Christian. In the dream, the identity of the Christian was revealed to the Qazi. The Qazi awoke from his sleep. He was smitten with remorse, regret and grief. He set off to the Christian's home. When he met the Christian, he asked, what charity did you give yesterday? When the Christian inquired of the reason for his probing, the Qazi explained what he had seen in the dream. Then the Qazi said, I shall give you 100,000 dirhams, silver coins, in exchange for that good deed. The Christian replied, if you give me all the wealth of the world, I shall not make the exchange. Then the Christian said, the bargain with Allah Ta'ala is indeed wonderful. This sawda a person makes, this bargain with Allah Ta'ala is indeed wonderful. I bear witness that Allah is one and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul. He had embraced Islam. And therefore Allah Ta'ala gave him that beautiful palace in Jannat, of course, because of his iman and the good act of charity that he did. Now it just shows so many times, of course, we get some people who are professional beggars, and who keep on troubling the people, begging. Yeah, Shariat has explained about begging, it's not something that has been recommended, but some people are desperate. And we know of people around us who we can assist, who we can help. So therefore we should try and assist them without making a big hue and cry about it. We should be sincere. We do not know what type of sadaqah we will do, what type of charity and what the effects will be. Allah Ta'ala will remove so much of bala, musibat, so much of difficulties, and Allah Ta'ala will bless us in the akhirat as well. The taqwa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. There are numerous episodes to illustrate the lofty standard of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's taqwa. Once some bandits had brought to Kufa a large flock of goats, which were sold to the butcheries. Now listen to these incidents very carefully and apply the same thing to our circumstances today. Many things happen. We don't get bandits coming and selling goats, of course, maybe Qurbani time can happen. But we get many people who steal containers. And we know what happens after that. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi became extremely worried why these bandits had come with a large flock of goats sold to the butcheries. Of course, they were slaughtered. And now meat was available in the butcheries. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi became extremely worried about the meat in Kufa. There was no way of differentiating the meat, that whether this meat was bought from these bandits or was it meat from somewhere else. He therefore inquired from experts of the lifespan of goats. He was informed that goats live up to 7 years. Thus, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi abstained from eating goat's meat for 7 years. This is what he called his wara, his taqwa, that he had. Now these are people who we follow in our madhab, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. We are proud that he is our imam. But we don't even look at the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. The beautiful teachings, his taqwa, the taqwa that he had in his life. Now this is so important for us. When we know something, the stolen goods there, it's not permissible for us to go and sell it. Not permissible for us to go and buy it. The rest of town can enjoy that. There will be no barakat in it. You may be paying a higher price to buy it through normal route and normal way, but you will gain barakat in it. Our eyes should not be on the next person and the next shop and the next businessman. If he is prosperous in his business, it's good for him. We should not become greedy. A person should have intention of halal and do it the correct way. Then Allah Ta'ala will promise, Allah promises Allah will give him barakat. Allah will give him peace of mind. Imagine the person who gains items and products from haram way. What type of sleep will he have at night? Will he have sukoon or will he be restless? So Allah Ta'ala has shown us, why should we involve ourselves in fraud and cheat and theft and steal? Now these are the things that brings a bad image to the Muslims. And when people see this, they say, no. I won't deal with that person because he is a rogue. He deceives us. He has got a beard, sometimes kurta, topi. Supposed to be a good person. Frequents the masjid. He's doing good work for deen. He speaks very, very eloquently and he gives good advices. See, this is the thing. That we have to have this type of Islam, not just in the outward. We have to practice Islam. We all make mistakes. We all have to make tawbah istighfar. But we have to remind ourselves over these lessons. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was taqwa, and see what 7 years he did not consume the meat of a goat. May Allah Ta'ala give us humility, may Allah Ta'ala give us sincerity, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from all evil, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from arrogance and pride. May Allah Ta'ala help us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by alerting us, by showing us the right path. So many times just by listening to one malfoos, it can actually become a means of the person changing his whole life. One simple anecdote of some buzuruk. But of course the condition is, we must be sincere, we want to practice. We just end up with one incident. You see, the humble fly to break the pride of the arrogant. Once a fly sat on the face of Abu Ja'far Mansur, the arrogant, cruel Abbasi Khalifa. He warded off the fly with his hand, but the fly returned and sat on his face again. Time and again the fly returned, despite the Khalifa's frantic attempts to ward it off. He was vexed. He was annoyed. Abu Ja'far Mansur blurted out, "What need did Allah Ta'ala have to create flies?" The famous Mufassir, Hazrat Muqatil Rahmatullah Ali, who was present, he fearlessly retorted. He said, "Allah Ta'ala has created flies to break the pride of the arrogant one." Mansur thereupon was reduced to silence. Tiny little fly irritated him. He couldn't take this fly coming onto his nose. He had this arrogance. He was a very arrogant ruler, very cruel ruler. And what a statement he makes. What did Allah Ta'ala create flies for? So this person, this Mufassir says, to sit on people like your sort of noses of people who are arrogant ones, to annoy people like you, to break your pride. Thing like a fly, you can't even ward it off. Chase it, comes back again. As much as you want it to go away, it comes back again. So the fly realizes, this person here, we need to make his Islam. Like her Numrud, tiny little fly, or mosquito, they say, it was a lame mosquito. Lame mosquito. Numrud was so full of arrogance and pride. He refused to accept the Dawat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Ta'ala made it such that this fly goes into his nose, it's stuck there. He tried desperately to remove it. They failed. Finally, just to get rahat, because he should get headaches and excruciating pain. Imagine all his ministers and all his men had to take the slippers and keep on knocking it on his head to give him some type of sukoon. So Allah Ta'ala does these things to big people, so-called superpowers. But they are defeated by a small little makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are lessons for us. We also sometimes display this pride, arrogance. We don't have that humility. We feel that I'm the person, I'm the most superior. Everybody else is inferior. Everybody has listened to me. I dictate, I give orders and commands. No. Pride, arrogance, anger, all these things are related. And the whole purpose of listening to these type of talks is for our own reformation. Don't worry about the next person and the third person. That is our problem. The moment something about pride, arrogance, our mind goes on to A, B, C person. No. If we really look down into our own lives, make an introspection of our own lives, we will realize that we are full of these type of weaknesses. And therefore reform ourselves before it is too late and maut comes. Then the game is all over. Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance now. Whatever little we can do, to the best of our ability. Of course, Islam doesn't take place overnight, that we have all these weaknesses, and suddenly, in one gathering, the next day, you are free from all these weaknesses. No. You send the car to the panel beater, it takes weeks. You keep on phoning, you're still busy. And finally, after the work is done, then the car is looking so new. So it takes a time, it takes a long period of time. But we have to make an effort, a concerted effort. We have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will make things so easy. Allah Ta'ala will provide the medicine for us. Allah will provide the cure for us. The spiritual cure. And of course, even the physical cure. May Allah Ta'ala remove our difficulties. May Allah Ta'ala have rahmah on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, on Wednesday night at 7:30, we'll have the talk. And Isha will azan will be at Qurba Sayyid, inshallah. We are encouraged to keep Roza on Wednesday and Thursday, or Thursday and Friday. There is the 9th and 10th of Muharram, or the 10th and 11th of Muharram. So inshallah, those of us have the tawfiq and ability and strength, we should keep the Roza. The previous year's sins are forgiven, and 10th of Ashura is a very Mubarak day. Inshallah, more on that. We have heard so much. The whole life, every time we're hearing the same bayan, so we'll mention something about Ashura on Wednesday. But if a person is not keeping Roza, there's no guna at all. It is the Sunnat fast. So if a person not keeping Roza, we don't look down upon the person. But we should encourage our family members. This was one Roza that the Sahaba should even encourage the young children to keep. So it's a very Mubarak day. We should try and keep this Roza, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, inshallah. We normally send out the SMS, the bulk SMS regarding the program Monday and Thursday and whenever there's no program. But most of these SMSs are people who are not coming to the masjid, people seeing far and wide. Some of them may be in Transvaal and Johannesburg. Because these were numbers we had from Hazrat Rahmatullah's time, and people would come in the holiday, etc. So of course, this majlis is open to every person. It's not confined to any group of people, only musallis of this masjid. It's for every person. But the problem is that those who are coming to this majlis, we don't have their contact numbers to inform them sometimes when there's no program. So make a humble appeal that give your name to the brothers after this program now, so you can include your name on this list. You'll be informed whether there's a program on Monday and Thursday. Generally we have on Monday and Thursday, but sometime like this Thursday there won't be any program because we're having a program on Wednesday. So Thursday there'll be no program.
So you'll be informed. And yes, if we're not coming for the program, there's no guna if you send this message to somebody else. Our maqsad is not numbers, how many come to this program. Our maqsad is that we can pass on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we try to be sincere as possible. Allah ta'ala give us the ikhlas. But sometimes a person can't make it, and you pass on the message to somebody else, and that person comes, and he gains some benefit, you'll also be rewarded. So the important thing is those of us who have not got our numbers on that list, we don't have to pay any money, it's free for us. But it costs the brothers who are in charge of this, and therefore I felt that so many people are getting that message when it's not directly related to them as such. It's thing far and wide, they go, mashallah, to other programs. So it is costing, so a person doesn't be careful, it's part of israf. Whether it costs 20 cents or 30 cents, for one message that you are sending, is still a money that is being used, and if it's not directly going to benefit any person, then we should not be making israf. This is my humble opinion. Others may differ. And therefore, I felt that it's important for those who are coming here, they should just give their contact number, so it makes it easy. And yes, when we have other programs, then others will also be informed of those programs, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.